This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina is still showing high enrollment for the Affordable Care Act. That's according to the latest numbers from the U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Agency says nearly 500,000 North Carolinians have coverage, but health care costs are still steadily rising, which means premiums will too. Looks like insurance companies will increase their rates by an average of 25% for those covered by ACA here in North Carolina. Subsidies will likely cover most of that, but why are premiums rising higher now that before the ACA was enacted? Jason DeBruin has been following developments for the Affordable Care Act for the Triangle Business Journal, and he joins us now on the State of Things. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Great to be with you.
Let's talk about North Carolina and how it compares in enrollment for ACA to other states.
Well, in North Carolina, we're doing really well in terms of enrollment, or I say well from the Obama administration's perspective. Coming into 2015, we have probably close to 500,000 people, about 492,000 people that are enrolled in an Obamacare exchange plan. Now, remember, of course, these are the health insurance plans that people buy from private health insurance companies, but of course do so through the Obamacare exchange network. We're up a good bit from last year. So last year we had just north of about 350,000. Again, we're up to close to 500,000. So we're looking at about a 37% increase compared with last year. And as you might remember, last year we were already ahead of what the Obama administration had actually projected or dare I even say hoped for. So again, in terms of overall enrollment, we're looking pretty good, again, from the Obama administration's perspective.
All right. So overall, that's good news. More people have health care coverage, and nobody would argue that that's a bad thing. But, you know, it comes with a cost and comes at a price. So let's look at premiums now. Insurance premiums in the state of North Carolina, what's likely to happen to them in the next year?
They're going to go one way, and that's up. I think those of us who have bought employer-based insurance forever, we know that premiums tend to go up. But there does seem to be a little bit of sticker shock here with these exchange plans. They're set to go up, you said, at 25, maybe even as high as 26%, could be even higher. The way this works is that the insurance companies file with the Department of Insurance to, you know, a request to say, we'd like to increase by this much. The Department of Insurance reviews it and says either thumbs up or thumbs down. Blue Cross has put in a caveat to their request and said it might actually even be higher. Now, certainly, those of us who have been buying employer-based insurance, I don't know that we've ever seen a 25, 26% increase just in one year. So there is definitely some sticker shock here.
No, but they've been going up and, of course, way ahead of inflation. And that's always been the critique about private insurance, is that while the rest of inflation stays around 1 or 2%, health insurance premiums in that private industry have been going up 13, 14%, sometimes 20%, depending on what era you're talking about. So much more for ACA now, people covered under that. What accounts for this sharp rise? I mean, the whole point of ACA was it was going to bring health care costs down.
Yeah, you're right. And honestly, I think the simplest answer is just simply that people are using what they're buying. They're using the health care services. So you have a lot more people now that have insurance, either maybe for the first time in their lives or at least for the first time in many years. They have, you know, chronic diseases that have been building up for 5 years or longer, 10 years, maybe even decades, and now they're getting plugged into the healthcare system, and the doctors are finding that we have some really sick people, and so they're having to treat them. And now that, of course, they're on these insurance plans, they can at least find it somewhat manageable to pay, hopefully, and so they're getting these treatments. You know, another big factor has certainly been the rise of emergency room use. I know one of the hopes, or certainly one of the plans of the Affordable Care Act, was to get people plugged into health insurance plans and hopefully get them using healthcare in a much smarter way. It's been pretty well documented. You and I have talked about this, that using the emergency room is one of the worst ways that we waste money here in the United States, because people who don't have emergent cases go to the emergency care. Sometimes that can cost as much as $500 more per trip than, you know, if you went to an urgent care or even waited a day, went to your primary care physician. There's not a lot of science on this, but some early indications are that people who have just recently purchased health insurance, again, either, you know, for the first time in a long time or, again, for the first time ever, they now are almost seeing this as, oh, now I can go to the emergency room. They might have previously thought, I can't even go to the emergency room. And so now they have health insurance. Something bad happens to them. They don't really know what to do, so they go to the ER. Again, those are some early social signs. We don't know if those numbers are going to play out, but that does seem to be affecting us here, at least in the early run.
So that suggests a little bit or better education on the part of providers, in particular, how to use your insurance the most effective way. That might have a change in this. It's kind of a reverse J curve, right? I mean, the costs go up and up and up, kind of precipitously, and then if you begin to bring some of these chronic illnesses that had gone untreated under control, and people learn about where to go first, rather see your primary rather than the emergency room first, this precipitous rise then kind of curves back down, a kind of a candy cane curve, if you want.
Yeah, right. And that's a difficult argument to make politically, right? Because if you're the Obama administration, it's easy for you to say, "Hey, just wait 10 years, and you'll see this." Right, you'll see this candy cane come back down. Exactly, yeah. But I do think that it's a fair argument. And look, our healthcare industry is a $3 trillion industry. It is simply too difficult to try to turn that enormous boat, you know, on a dime. It's just simply not going to happen. So I think it is fair to give some of these policies at least a few more years to sort of let them breathe a little bit.
Well, the other thing is that of course, insurance companies have to do what they are going to do what they have to do. More people are on, they're sicker, it's costing them more, and that's when you charge more. What about the argument that if this had been, and I don't know how we do the comparison, but of course, the cost of insurance is based on the pool. How many people are in your pool? The broader the pool, the broader the risk, generally speaking, the lower the cost. If you had a single payer system, can you assume that the cost would be slightly lower than each insurance company with its relatively smaller pool?
Absolutely. And this is certainly something that Blue Cross has been saying. The reason we've been talking about Blue Cross so much is they have by far the most ACA enrollees. I think they account for more than 7 out of every 10 person that's on the exchange here in North Carolina. So you're looking at almost 3/4 of everybody is through a Blue Cross plan. And they have consistently said for the past 2 years that the enrollees in their plans are both older and sicker than were first anticipated. So some of the sticker shock increase that you're seeing in premiums has as much to do with just simply people getting and using healthcare as much as it does Blue Cross not having a great estimate, back 3 years ago whenever they first started offering plans. You hit the nail on the head. Employer-based health insurance is typically a very broad risk pool, and insurance companies over the years, I mean, they've been doing it since, the 50s, they've gotten very good at being able to predict how much in healthcare costs they are going to pay. These Affordable Care Act insurees, if you will, are obviously much newer. We don't really know much about them. Oh, and I should also mention they're also more volatile. You have people going in and out of plans at a much higher rate than you do, say, in an employer-based plan where you kind of get in your plan and sort of stay in that plan for many, many years. So it is very difficult to predict what's going to happen, and that's certainly contributing to these higher insurance premiums as well.
Let's take a look at the Supreme Court and what's going on there. The Supreme Court is considering a challenge to federal subsidies. Remind us about that case and what the consequences might be.
Right. So in short, the law was very specifically written that subsidies for plans shall apply in these state-based exchanges. If you'll recall, back when the ACA was first imagined, every state was supposed to establish its own state-run exchange, and that's why it was written that way in the law. Of course, the Supreme Court back a few years ago ruled that A, not only did Medicaid not need to be expanded, but also B, that states were not required to set up their own exchanges. So, of course, then the federal government came in and they put up their own exchange. Now, what never happened was that little portion of the law was never amended, if you will, to say that it should apply to all exchange plans. I think the intent of the law was quite clear that it should, in fact, apply to everyone that buys an ACA plan, but of course, the letter of the law being exactly what it is, hence you have the challenge. This, of course, King v. Burwell, that was the argument that's going to be decided here probably in a couple, maybe 3-4 weeks, actually. It's going to affect North Carolina in a bigger way than many other states because we actually have 93% of our ACA enrollees qualify for some sort of a subsidy. That's the third highest percentage in the nation. So it definitely could affect more people here in North Carolina than nearly any other state.
And what would the impact be?
Well, if the Supreme Court rules in favor of the challenge and then takes away the subsidies, it would literally take away all of the subsidies that are afforded to everybody that buys an insurance, a health insurance plan off the exchange. Just to put some numbers with that, the average subsidy is $272. So you're looking at premiums that run in the neighborhood of $350 to $400 per person right. on the exchange. Well, $272 of that is being covered by wow. the federal government. So, I mean, the premiums that people are paying are, in fact, relatively affordable, I might say, if you factor in the subsidy, of right. course. But, of course, if that subsidy goes away, that's an extra $275 you're looking at paying out of your pocket every single month.
For, as you say, 93% of the enrollees here in the state of North Carolina.
That's right, exactly.
All right, Jason, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Jason DeBruin, a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. Also, while we're on the subject, we want to let you know that two committees in the state House are scheduled to debate a bill that would overhaul North Carolina's Medicaid system. The House Health Committee is scheduled to take up the measure tomorrow. The House Appropriations Committee has put it on the calendar for Thursday, and we, of course, will follow developments and keep you up to date on all of that. Just ahead, State Superintendent June Atkinson talks about the state of education in North Carolina. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.